For thy name is great and mighty, Abba. As we enter into the tabernacle to worship you, to call upon your mighty name, to esteem you above the heights of the Shemayim, we do bless you and praise you. For your name is mighty and precious. There is no other name of deliverance but in your name, Yahweh. For we find the strength of our Yahshak, our Yahshua, the salvation of the house of Israel. So as we humble ourselves in your presence, in your bayat, we call upon you for your mighty mercies and kindness, your love, tenderness toward us all. For we are people that are in need of your love, tenderness, your mercies, your honor upon us. For we are insufficient, and you are the most sufficient one. You are able to set all things in order, to discipline us by the way of your Torah, to give us assurance of salvation in Yahshua HaMashiach the Lamb, Israel. So we pay homage unto you this Shabbat, to assemble in this day to worship you. We do ask and pray that the purity of your worship will emanate from this day at this house that has been set apart for your name to be esteemed, for your honor to be exonerated, for your character to be implied here in this assembly. We pray that you strengthen us and enrich us according to your knowledge through our emunah, our faith, that we will trust and believe you in the midst of a generation, a time whereby there is such belem, such sin, a mindset that is Torah-less, a mind that cannot and will not be instructed. You give unto us truth and the revelation of truth that reveals the hidden secrets of our own hearts, reveals the power of iniquity, reveals the depravity, the uncleanliness of your people. For you do send your Mishpatim to the house of Israel. You send your judgment upon them, that even the world may see that you deal with a people according to righteousness. It is not after the seeing of the eyes or the hearing of the ears, but it is according to your Torah, your statutes, your mitzvot, your instructions, counsel that you have imparted unto your people. And when they reject that, there are consequences that go along with that. So we ask you this day to help us all. We need your help in this day and today, your way. We ask and pray, we intrigue you, your way, that your word will be a great fire today, that it will go forth with great power and strength, that it reveal unto each of us what is in each of us, that we may find the place of repentance, not being as Esau, a fornicator, a profane, depraved, disobedient one, but one that loves your truth and desire to please you in all things. We need you today, our Abba. We need your Ahava deep in our hearts. We need your truth, your Emet, to penetrate down to the inward parts of our beings. We need you, Yahweh, to strengthen us and to stabilize that mind that you have commanded us to have. And that is the mind of HaMashiach, the one of obedience, the one of pure Hava, the one of great Emunah, The one that learned to obey your way by the things that he suffered. And there was a great pleasure in obeying you. So we ask you today, as we entreat you, our Abba, we need your help. We cannot do it without your strength. We need your help, your way. Your people need your strength. They need your instructions. They do need your counsel. We ask your anointing to rest upon them all. As we pray for those that have requested prayer. As their names, we call them. Brother Jerry Talton in Monroe City, Missouri. We ask your strength to rest upon Brother Nathan and those that are gathered with him there in Houston, Texas, that you may bless him mightily and richly. We pray for Brother Rex and his wife and their situation in Landrus, South Carolina. We ask you to strengthen the mind of Brother David Monning there in St. Louis, Missouri. We ask your mighty touch upon Brother Morgan and his wife, Sister Morgan, and their son Yeshua there in Philadelphia. Strengthen, I pray, our precious Brother Michael, Sister Michaela, and Brother Alex. Touch him and bless them today richly as they sit there together in Hamilton, Ohio. We pray for them. We ask your anointing to rest upon Brother Jerry and his wife there in Dallas, Texas. We ask you to strengthen Sister Tucker and the children there as they listen. Brother Ron, that you will impart the mighty power of your wisdom into his life in Kentucky. Strengthen our Sister Catherine and Sister Pamela. We ask your blessing to fill the house of Sister Hawkins there in Jamaica. We ask you to bless all the men of Yahweh today, those that we know of and know not of. Strengthen, brother, and our Pastor Joy Griffin. We ask your anointing upon Pastor Brown and Pastor Hunter. We ask you to strengthen Pastor Yisrael and Elder Baker there in Charleston, South Carolina. We ask you to strengthen the home of Brother and Sister Heath and their children in Pickering, Canada. We ask you to bless Brother Dukes there in Wilmington, Delaware. We bless him for the gift and the love gift that he has sent your way. We pray for Elder Basil there in Salter, South Carolina. As the brothers gather there with him today, strengthen him, I pray. Bless Sister Morrison there in Philadelphia. Give her strength and wisdom and understanding, Almighty, your way. We ask your blessing upon Brother Jerome James, his wife, his children there in Brooklyn, New York, to bless them mightily. We ask you to touch Elder Martin there in Kenya as they assembly gather today. And Brother Peter, so wonderful to hear from him again there in Nigeria. We ask your great strength and your blessing that you meet all the needs in the heart of Sister Leah Elect there in Bronx, New York, to help her in a mighty way, as the message has been a great blessing to her, of great strength and great anointing. Give her strength, I pray today, as she listens continuously all the Shabbat day long, as her heart is intrigued by the hearing of the word of Yahweh. We pray for those that are listening on the live stream today, those that would join us in service today. Bless them mightily and enrich them with a powerful understanding that no man can cause them to deny the power of their Abba. We bless you your way. Without your strength, we have no power at all. And without your counsel, there is no strength, for it is the power to sustain us daily and all during the day. We need your help today. We need your strength. We need your assurance. We ask in your surest mighty name, the hope of HaMashiach, that you give us strength. You cause our hearts to be enlarged. That you cause the joy. You cause the Hallel to come forth. As we shabak you, as we bless you, as we praise you for all things, we bind every vile thing of darkness, the corrupt, depraved mind, the power of Ichabod. We plead the mighty blood and the cleansing power of HaMashiach. We love you today. We bless you. We pray that your expression of truth if expressed in this day yet today and nothing else. We ask it all in HaMashiach's mighty name. And we bless you for that and we thank you. And all the Kedoshim's cried hallelujah way. Hallelujah way. Oh yes, it's all about you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah way. Oh yes. For it's all about you, our precious. Precious Abba, your way. The Most High that created the expanse of all things by the power of His spoken words, and it came to be. I pray today as we assemble here, those that are listening via live stream over the internet, those that may hear this message at some time, that this worship, this gathering, will not be in vain, an empty assembling of ourselves for our own personal interests instead of the purpose of our great Creator. For who is more magnificent than you, Yahweh? With the limitation of the Hebraic dialect, you gave words that men would be in such awe of you, and at the expression of your power by the limitations of word, it will do something in the depths of a man's left, his heart, as he thinks upon the greatness of our Creator and the power of His might. So as we assemble here today, those in their homes gathered listening, give them great strength. Give them encouragement today as they hear the words of strength, that they may identify who they are. We ask it in the precious promise and hope, Yahshua HaMashiach, because we trust you, Yahweh, and we believe the witness of that truth, Yahshua HaMashiach, the Messiah of Yahweh. Bless all the hearers today and those that receive. We ask it all in that mighty name. We thank you, Abba. And all the Jerusalem's cried hallelujah way. Hallelujah way. Look to your neighbor and say to them, Shabbat Shalom. You have a restful Shabbat. Yeah, we bless you all. You may be seated. We do bless you all that are listening. We do greet the house of Israel this day. For we're in the time and the hour whereby we must have sound truth, doctrine, discipline. And you're always the only one that can discipline us. We must understand that there is a covenant relationship. And once a man understands what a covenant is, and he has given us some similitude of that, the relationship of the husband and wife. And that covenant relationship is based upon the responsibilities of both. Yahweh is faithful in His responsibility. And so is the covenant relationship is based upon that. And Yahweh took it upon Himself to give us assurance, the house of Israel, that He will go beyond those written statutes that were inscribed in stones and parchment and papyri. He said, I will do something that is so profound that it will startle the thoughts, the ability for man to comprehend how great I am. I will establish something that is so profound. And the house of Israel shall know, because I will go beyond the visual seeing. I will go beyond that which they perceive to be, but I will go to a greater depth. And I will put something in the inward part and in the heart of man that no one can eradicate but the depravity and the rejection of man of that truth that I imparted into him. And the witness will be so profound that I will send the Yahshua, Yahshua. And the prophecies shall spring forth out of those that I have ordained, and set them in the place whereby they will tell you, and show you, and speak to you of this profound deed that I will perform. I will say this, that man is trying to relegate Almighty Yahweh to the form of a God, that he may reason with him and question him. We can see that in the display of Eve with Shatan. He is the God of this world. And because he has done that, the profoundness of Yahweh's attributes are just too hard to understand. Man cannot perceive that this is the work of Yahweh. Man cannot understand the power of Yahweh's strength in a clay body of Yahshua HaMashiach. So they grapple with those things and they wrestle with that and they try to alter that. But you cannot alter Torah revelation. It cannot be altered. And even the prophets, and those that understood the hand of Yahweh or his moving, they realize with great depth and understanding what belonged to Yahweh, what was sent of him, and what was revealed by him. We are a generation that do not understand those things. We have ear to hear or ears to hear, but we cannot hear. We have a heart that says we love Yahweh, but there is no true Ahava that express our Ahava toward him. And the example of that is that we obey him and keep what he commands us to do. I want to begin something here today. And I do pray to our Abba that I finish this. There are some things that I do want to point out. I want us, and I will not get to that part this Shabbat, I'm certain. But we must understand the characteristics of Israel, the strength and the identity of it. And as David, he began to cry out, we must understand that every psalm of David, every Tehillim, it was an expression unto Yahweh in the form of prayer. It was a song. It was a great trial. It was supplication. It was a great battle he was wrestling with. But it was an expression unto Yahweh because there was something greater that Yahweh would express unto the house of Israel. And David longed for that great expression. He longed to behold it. He longed to be a part of that great work that Yahweh would do. And he began here in Tehillim, Psalms 40. We must understand that HaMashiach, he came in the volume of the scroll. The book is written of him, the scrolls are written of him. What is in the scrolls? What is in the book? We must understand that Yahweh's counsel, his truth, his revelation, his instruction to the house of Israel is found in the book. And HaMashiach is the expressed power of the scroll, brothers and sisters. We find in what we call Christendom, I want to express this before I proceed. We find in what we call Christendom and many religions of the world, and the way of Yahweh is not a religion. It is not some form of worship of gods or a god. It is the obedience of love unto Yahweh that we adore him with great adorations because of the covenant relationship. You understand your responsibility because he is faithful on his behalf. He's very faithful. You cannot count him unfaithful, but he is unfaithful. And the covenant relationship with Yahweh, it has such great importance that he cannot deny one word that he has spoken or written unto the house of Israel. He cannot annul it at all, but it must be performed. And in order to show us, to give us some kind of perception of his power, he sent this clay body. The fulfillment of the power of the Torah, not only was the word written in that clay body,
but the power of His Ruah to demonstrate the strength of Yahweh's Torah. That we live by it. We trust it. We obey it. We take great delight and great joy in it. So this religious power of darkness has crept in. Christianity and Islam and Buddhism and all kinds of religion. To tell man that you have your own will. And you do your own will. What Torah teaches us what the will of Yahweh is. So Christianity tells you to pray. You seek your God for His will. There is only one will. There's only one purpose of Yahweh. That we will be faithful and obedient unto Him. And once we understand that, we will need no man to teach us. That is why we must constantly be taught the first oracles of Yahweh over and over. You must be taught continuously to love Him with all your living. And then you must be taught to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Because if we were actually performing those things, we will have no need to be taught of those things. And the reason we don't perform those things is because the Mishpatim, the judgment of Yahweh, is missing from the people of Yahweh. And that is why we can perform every kind of vile, depraved, corrupt thing there is, because there is no fear at all of our Abba. He has no great value to us and no importance. I want to say to you that this volume of the book, it deals with the people that Yahweh elected and He called, that He may express His power, His virtue in them, that they may be example to the nations of the world. And yet they rebel and they rejected Yahweh because they went after their own pernicious, their own wicked, corrupt, vile, and insidious ways. Now what is leading you today? Are you being led by the Ruah of Yahweh, or are you being led by your own concept, your own anger, your own hostility, your own corruption? Now you can answer that better than anyone. What is leading you today? I do know for certain, if we are not led by the Ruah of the Torah, then we are not the sons of Yahweh. This foul thing that we call the Ruah or the Spirit, it is not the Ruah of Yahweh. Because it doesn't lead us into the paths that we walk in. It leads us constantly to the Torah, to the disciplines, the counsel, and the instruction of Yahweh. This what guides us leads us to a depraved mentality, one of anger and hatred, one of hardness of lev. That is not Yahweh. But what is led by the Ruah, it leads him to the fruit, or the power of the fruit of the Ruah dwells in that one. There's tender mercies, there's kindness, there's love, there's gentleness. And so what is leading the house today? It is some concoction of darkness. It is something that we have stirred together. It does not come by Yahweh. I want to read this as David, as he spoke of this great expectation. And he spoke of a profound prophecy that will come to pass. And that his heart longed for that expectation. He begins in Tehillim, Psalm 40, verse 1. He first of all said, I wait patiently for Yahweh. Do you understand what that patiently waiting of Yahweh is? It is one that endures the afflictions. Endures the trials and the burdens of this life without murmuring or complaining. Because he knows that he can take his burdens unto the altar of Almighty Yahweh. He knows that he can leave them there. He knows that HaMashiach is able to bear us up in the midst of all of our weaknesses and the trials that afflict us. And so we do not murmur. David said, I will not murmur. I will wait patiently. Everything that is around me seems as though there is no fruition to this great prophecy. Or the truths that Yahweh utters out of my voice. I don't see anything. There is no visual perception. And then when I behold the wicked and I see their ways and I see their prospering or I see how they abound in the midst of all of their folly and their sin and their corruption, it causes me to desire to walk their way. But I will wait patiently upon Yahweh. And He inclined. He gave attentiveness. He gave attention. He gave thought to me. How profound that is. That Yahweh gives thought. He will incline his ear to you. He will open up his heart. He will open up his mind to you, David. And he heard my pleading, my cry, my cries. He heard what came forth out of my love. He knew what was in me. He heard those cries. He heard the supplication. He heard my mourning. He heard my cries unto him. He brought me also out of a horrible pit. Out of the dunghill, the stench of corruption. He brought me out. What am I? What am I worth to him? It is only Yahweh that associates the value as to what we are. We have no value to him unless he has valued us as a choice piece of gold. And we must be as a choice piece of gold, and all gold is tried by fire of tribulations, persecutions. All gold is tried. It must endure the furnace inferno of the trial. And David said, I will not murmur. I will not complain because I know he brought me out of a horrible pit. Out of the miry or the muddy clay, he brought me. And he set my feet upon the sure foundation, the rock, the hope of Yahshua HaMashiach, the power of the living Torah. He has set our feet upon that. HaMashiach came to please his Abba. He did not displease Yahweh in anything at all. He did all things. Man is trying to reason that. He is trying to express that and explain that, and he never can. Because he's trying to explain whom Yahweh is. The only way you're going to know who he is by the volume of the book, by the volume of the scroll. That is the only way. So we have misconceptualized him. We have construed him with every kind of God there is and associated their attributes with him that we have painted this fictitious picture of Yahweh that we don't know him. He's obscured in our minds. He's obscured in our thoughts. And that's why he's not a great pleasure to us. That's why there's no pleasing, no aesthetic pleasing to obey him. We're not pleased with that. Because we all have him visualized according to our corrupt, depraved mindset. And he is far from that. He said, and Yahweh established my goings. He established my going. I will walk in the way of Yahweh, or I will go in the way that is established. There's only one way that is established. And that is the Torah of Yahweh. It is established. And David's feet were established in that way. And your going must be established in that way as well. No other way. David said he did one thing. And he put a new song in my mouth. This is a generation that has no song for Yahweh. And he put a new song in my mouth. He put a new praise in my mouth unto him. He put something there that caused me to thank him much and to bless him. When a man begins to walk in this profound truth of Yahweh, when Yahweh began to revolutionize his life, he will put a new song in him. He will put a new talk in him. That's why, behold, all things have become old, and behold, all things have become new. All things are passed away, and the things today, they become new. The songs, the singing, the attitude, the ru'ah, it is not like it was, it ought not to be. So he has put a new song in my mouth. Even praise to our Abba, many shall see it and fear it and shall trust in Yahweh. Now I ask you a question. Are your praises unto your Abba that extreme and that profound that when others see you praise Yahweh that there is a fear of that? That they understand your commitment unto Yahweh, or do they perceive the same folly and falseness in you as they do in themselves? David said, I will praise him with such profoundness. It will be so provocative that men will fear him. That I will provoke men to fear him just in my praises and my adorations unto Yahweh. There's not much of that among his people. Because our heart is filled with so much insensitivity unto Yahweh. We are very insensitive to each other. There is no compassion. And that's the reason why. And I will show you in scripture today, according to Torah, it's there. And HaMashiach did not speak anything against it, neither did Shaul, but they confirm all things that were written in the volume of the scroll. The reason that our lives are not transformed is because we are not walking or seeking to understand the will of Yahweh. We are seeking to appease our own flesh and our own corruptness. It's not going to work. That's why we are miserable. That's why we are never happy. That's why your expression on your face is the way it is, because Scripture says so. I will read it. If it's not so, then you call Yahweh a liar. That's what you do. We literally do that. We don't say it verbally, but we say it within our love, because we don't believe what he says. And woe unto us. Woe unto us. Why do I say that? Because I believe to whom much is given, there is much required. When Yahweh gives you much, then if you reject him, then there is a great consequences of that. There are great consequences of that. And to think that we're going to get off lightly, then we're deceiving ourselves. Let me move. He says in verse 4, blessed is the man that makes Yahweh his trust. That man is full of rejoicing. He is full of strength. He is full of assurance. He's full of shalom. He's full of friendship. Blessed is the man who makes Yahweh his confidence. That he has confidence in Yahweh. He trusts him. And listen to this now. Do you hear this? And has not turned to the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. That the man that makes Yahweh his trust, he doesn't turn to those that are full of pride. He doesn't make his association with those that are full of lies. He doesn't turn to lies. He doesn't turn to fables and fairy tales. And that is what the doctrines of this nation are. They're full of fairy tales and falsism. Your own doctrine. What is a doctrine? It's a form of discipline. What disciplines you more than anything? What is the thing that disciplines your heart? What is the thing that brings you under some kind of control or government? What is it? Is it Torah? Or is it your own personality? Or is it your own godlikeness that you perceive what is right and wrong and then you establish your own goings? Or is it Yahweh? You will know it's Yahweh because he will bring you great trials and tribulations. When you get out of his will that is, we obey the volume of the book. It's simple as that. You're not going to get some kind of mythical, majestic type of little swirl out of the Shemayams to give you some kind of epiphany to say that I know what it is. It's in the volume of the book. It only can be found in the volume of the scroll. That's the only place it can be found. It's there because Scripture says it's there. If it's not the Scripture, it's based upon a total falsism. And I do not believe that the scroll is based upon that. Not at all. So when a man trusts in Yahweh, he will walk in the strength assurance. He will not turn to those that are full of pride, because he knows that pride goes before fall. And haughtiness before destruction. He knows that. He will not turn to lies. Why? Because those that lie, they hate every soul that is affected by it. If I lie on you, then I hate those that suffer the ramification of that lie. That I've told on you, Brother Jermaine, that afflicts you, afflicts your wife, and those that love you and say that Pastor Roberts was not right. Jermaine did not do that emphatically. So when one makes or tells a lie, it is of the nature of darkness. It is Shaitan. There is a spirit in them. It is not the power of Yahweh's Ruah, and I will show it emphatically in Scripture. When you find it so easily to lie, you are depraved. There's a demonic power there. That makes no difference whether you appreciate me or not, whether you care what I say. It makes no difference at all. I'm not bought with silver or gold. Because we don't have enough. I'm bought by the price of the dome of Yahshua HaMashiach. The purchase price of one that was in a horrible pit. And he brought him up out of the muddy clay, the mire of the clay. Now that's what I've been purchased with. You understand. And so your opinions will not affect me at all. I believe what Scripture says, what Torah teaches us. David declares, many, O Yahweh, my Abba, are your wonderful works that you have done. And your thoughts toward us, there is none to compare to you. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Do we truly believe that? That his works are wonderful? When something is so magnificent, it's so wonderful, the superlatives of our vocabulary is difficult to express that. You just cannot explain it. That's why Yahweh gave us a limited vocabulary. And what the powers that be have tried to expand that. That we become so dumbfounded that we can't understand what wonderful is today. The wonderful power of Yahweh. And the reason he gave us that limited vocabulary is because when we see the splendor of his power and the wonderful acts of Yahweh, the only thing we can say is so wonderful and just stand there and just be consumed by it. There are lavages enraptured by it. We have no words to express it. We just watch the beauty and the hand of Yahweh and the power of his expression. And the only thing we can say is wonderful. What about him? Wonderful. That is why the limited vocabulary. He not intend for us to have the expanse of the vocabulary or the vernaculars that we have today. It was because of the wickedness of man. Trying to exalt himself above Yahweh. Trying to exude himself to the pinnacle of a mighty being. And it brought him down to the pit of darkness. Is what it has done. He says, I cannot express your great deeds or your great acts. There's so many that they are innumerable. And I cannot express them if I wanted to. And it began here in verse 6. This is profound here. This is the crux of what I want to deal with today. He shows us here this profound truth and prophecy. Are the works of HaMashiach, the power of Yahweh's redemption. And they could only be done by the fulfillment of the Torah in that body of clay. Listen to this in verse 6. He says, sacrifices and offerings you did not desire. How is that? He desired obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice. He desired for us to obey him. He gave Moshe a Torah written. And he desired the people to obey them, to trust him, to have confidence in him. He said, but a body you have prepared for me. That's all right by me. And that body is HaMashiach because he is a rock of your way. He said, burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. Then said I, observe. I will come in the volume of the scroll. It is written all about me. Now what scroll can it be? What other volume, what other book it can be? He said, I come in the volume. Do you understand what a volume is? The volume is the complete works. It is the entirety of the specifics of that subject or that matter that it details in the volume. And so HaMashiach declares, by the power of prophecy, by the ruah of the mouth of David, that HaMashiach speaks because he came from the lion, he came from the lineage of David, and he said, I come in the volume of the book. What book was David expressing? What book was written? And the only book that he could have come in, he must express that book. He had to be the power of that volume. And he had to show us the living source of that book. And that's what he did. That's what he did. Not their Jesus. Not their pagan deities. He came in his Abba's name. He came in the power of Yahweh. And no other power. Because that name is the excellent name. That name is the extreme name. So he had to come in that name. And if he came in any other deity, he would have had no power. He did not come in the volume of this book. He may have come in the volume of the book of Islam, the book of Buddha, but he did not come in the volume of the Torah. And he declared, I come in the volume of this book. I come in the volume of the straw. He said, it is written all. It is written all about me. It is written all about me. Now that's a profound statement. How can it be written all about him unless he is the living word, the Torah made flesh? And that's what he is. He's the Son of Yahweh. He said, this book is written all about me. What was the volume written about? Was it the Torah of Yahweh? Was it the instruction, the ordinance, the statute, the counsel of Yahweh? Was it that? Sure it was. That's why he said, it's written all about me. It's written all about me. The volume, the scroll, I come in the fullness of it. I came to fulfill it. I came to show us the power of the volume of the book. How can one word that Yahweh said 6,000 years ago be any different than the word today? He said, let there be man, let there be light. And the stars of the Shemayim, were they there? Is this word still powerful today? Does it still perform the same acts as it did then today? It has not changed. We have been polluted. And that's what religion has done. Religion has always been the form to seek out some God. It has always been full of ritualism and rituals. But the Torah of Yahweh teaches us the discipline of the mighty Creator, and that we walk in all obedience unto that. Now that is what the Torah is. So HaMashiach did not disobey Yahweh, did he? Did he teach us to disobey Yahweh? There are perverts today that actually think that HaMashiach taught us disobedience unto Yahweh. That Shaul taught us to disregard the Torah. They are so ignorant. They are men without understanding. They are trying to identify Israel. And they don't even know the characteristics of Israel. They are trying to make a people Israel. And they have no understanding of the characteristic of the house of true Israel. They're unlearned men. They're full of they're just like clouds without water. They're carried about by their own tempest. I don't want to remove myself from this. He says, I come in the volume of the soul. It is written of me. This is written of you, HaMashiach. Verse, hallelujah, Yahweh. Verse 8, he says. He says unto Yahweh. Now look at this now. He says, I take great sorrow. Do you understand what delight is? It is an euphoric of great joy. It's beyond the expression. For you truly delight in something, have you ever had an experience that your verbiage could not express the experience that you had? I have. I certainly have. But HaMashiach, as David speaks of this great prophecy, he says, I delight to do your will. First of all, I delight to do your will. I delight to please you in everything that you have placed in me. He says, oh my Abba. And he emphatically says, you listen to this. Don't get drunk today. Don't allow your flesh to allure you to some drunkenness. He says, yes, your Torah is where? Within my lap. Now, what's in your lap? Now, these are the two factors I'm going to deal with today. Delighting to do Yahweh's will, and his Torah written, your Torah is within my lap. His Torah within his left, the instruction, the counsel of Yahweh is my strength. It is what guides me today. And it's one thing that Shaitan has done to the masses of the world. He has robbed. He comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. Not your flesh. Because Yahweh tells us, don't even fear him that can destroy the flesh. He comes to steal the power of Yahweh's truth. He comes to alter and to change the heart of man that it denounces the Torah of Yahweh. HaMashiach and David cried the same. This is the metaphor of HaMashiach here. He said, your Torah. Now listen to me, brothers and sisters. When you see the word law in Scripture, it always resorts back to the Torah. It has some indication of the Torah, the counsel, the wisdom, the disciplines of Almighty Yahweh, His government. That is what it's dealing with. So I simplify it by using Torah, and that is the great strength, the wisdom, the instruction, the counsel, the great expanse of Yahweh's knowledge that is beyond your comprehension and mine, and all of ours collectively together. So when you see that expression in Scripture, you're dealing with the Torah of Yahweh. And the Torah expressed the will of Yahweh to you. The Torah teaches you the will of Yahweh. The Torah counsels you in the purpose of Yahweh. The Torah of Yahweh advises you, corrects you, and shows you what is appropriate and right to do. Now what we have found out in Christendom and religion, they have taken the Scripture, they have taken the renewed accounts of HaMashiach's life and form their own laws and their own mitzvahs. They have traditions. Pray that God's will be done. We know what His will is. To do His will, and that we keep His mitzvah, His Torah in our heart. And HaMashiach did not discount that, neither did Shaul. They did not speak against that. They confirmed that. He said that His Torah is written in my heart. Now, what is written in your heart? Do you understand that the issues of life flow from your heart? What is written there? If you got anger and hostility and folly, because that's written in your heart. If you're hatred, full of hatred and lies, that's what's written there. He said, because your Torah, the Torah of Yahweh is in my heart. What is in your heart? Sin, consumption of lust, greed and disobedience, that's what sinned you. Was that in HaMashiach? No, it was not. Was that guile in Him? No, there was not. When they accused Him, did He speak with a guile in His mouth? That's not the nature of His people today. We're defending everything, but we're not defending the Torah. If the Torah is written in you, you will defend that. You will show the great counsel of the Torah. You will defend the white man which is full of corruption and hell. You defend the black man that is foul and evil. And we defend our children that are full of sedition and darkness. We are set to defend Torah. HaMashiach is the power of the Torah. He is the Ruah. He is the living force of the Torah. We are trying to explain that to this mindset of stupidity and ignorance. And you can't get nothing across to this generation. You can explain it over and over. And you must always go back to the first oracles and the principles. Why? Because we are a very forgetful generation. We don't retain things. The only thing you retain is trash and garbage and lies and folly, foolishness. You retain that quite well. The husbands that can remember something a wife did 20 years ago. Their wives can remember something a husband did 50 years ago. And yet we cannot retain Torah truth. Well, I'm going to bring it home today. I don't care if you love me. It doesn't make any difference. He said that your Torah is in my heart. I delight, I take great pleasure to do your will. We don't take pleasure in doing the will of Yahweh. Moshe was in the house of Pharaoh with great riches. He enjoyed the great functions of Pharaoh's kingdom, but he had something written in his lev. And that was the Torah of Yahweh, and a delight to do His will. So he rejected the riches of Egypt, and he chose rather to endure the affliction with the people of Yahweh than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for Caesar. What was the pleasure of sin? Well, it was a defiance of Torah. We know that sin is a transgression of the Torah. And these Christ keepers, these apostolic Christ keepers, they're transgressing. These Sunday worshipers, they're transgressing. These Jesus only, they're transgressing. They're deniers of the name of Yahweh, they're transgressing the Torah. They're defying the Torah, and they are in sin, and if they continue, they're going to die in their wickedness. I don't care about the apostate, whorehouse of the apostolics, the UPCs, or whatever Christian fascism it is. It is fascism because they teach you to reject Torah. They teach you to deny Yahweh. That's what they teach. They teach you to reject His truth. And they train you and they brainwash you. that you become very adamant against Yahweh's truth. And that is what Ahaz done. HaMashiach was not against his Abba. He came to do his will because he had something in him to sustain him. We don't have anything in us to sustain us. We got such filth and wickedness. We got such immaturity. So childish. Very little maturity. Maturity is a great strength. Wisdom is too. How do you get that unless you go to the volume of the book? You can't get that without understanding what the volume says. HaMashiach came in the volume of the book to do what? To do the will of Yahweh and to please Him. He says here in the next verse, He says here, I want you to hear this very carefully. He says, I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I will not refrain my lips, O Yahweh. You know my righteousness. I have not, this one he has not hid. Now look at this. Now HaMashiach did not hide this. He said, I have not hid the righteousness of Yahweh within my lev. I have brought it out. What is righteous, saints? Yahweh is from everlasting to everlasting, isn't he? And his Torah, he is so righteous that his Torah is the truth of who he is. He said, I've not hid that within my heart. And then silence, I have not closed my lips. He said, I have declared your faithfulness. I've declared your Yahshua. I have not concealed your love kindness and your truth from the great congregation. What is this truth? The Torah. What is the truth? Torah. And HaMashiach is the truth. He was Torah made in flesh. He was the living Torah made in flesh. Do you hear that? That's simple to explain, and that's it. He is the Torah of Yahweh made flesh. That is what he is. He is the life and the power of the Torah. And these Jezebels today reject that. The religious man reject that. They're trying to fit their Christo and their crisis into that. He will not. He is a peg that has been out of shape. He will not fit into its place. He is the truth. He said, I'm not shun these things. He said, withhold not you your tender mercies from me, O Yahweh. Let your love, kindness, and your truth continuously preserve me. Now, how can you be preserved without Torah? His Torah is the truth. Now, how can you be preserved without Torah? How can you be preserved without Yahweh's counsel, His discipline, Him governing you, Him instructing you, Him showing you your limitations, what you can and cannot do? He shows us those things. He shows you your limitations. He tells you you cannot go out here, brothers or sisters, and lay with a beast like you do with a husband or wife. But that's a limitation. You cannot steal from your brother or sister. You cannot defraud them. You can't lie to them. You can't go out here and murder someone. If you break down a man's fence, fix his fence. If you do something against someone, tell them you did that. If you spoke evil against your brother or sister, go and confess the thing. That's the power of Torah in your heart. We do things that are totally opposite. HaMashiach tells us to confess our faults one unto another. And your fervent righteous prayer will avail much. Yaakov spoke it by the power of the Torah in him. There was nothing new when Yaakov was on the scene or when Kephar Shaul, but the power of the Torah. That's what they preached from, that strength in their heart. They had the power that they delighted to do the will of the Abba. And HaMashiach came to show us that. He came to shine the light upon that perfectly. And that's why we follow Him. Why would you not follow Him? He did all things to please Yahweh, didn't He? So why would you not follow Him? Would you get weary? Consider Him unless you get weary in your mind and faint. Did He do all things to please Him? Did He obey Him? Did He declare it is all finished? Did He declare that? So why would we not follow Him? Why would we not be obedient like Him? Why would we not bless Yahweh for Him? Tell me why not. Is He our example? He is the pattern of our hope. Why ought not to bless Him? Something is wrong in the psyche, in the sick, psychopathic mindset of man. They do not have the Torah. The Torah is the strength of his knowledge being opened up. It's the strength of his wisdom being imparted into you, brothers and sisters. This generation doesn't possess that. I said emphatically, without any apology, they don't have it. They rejected the Torah. And HaMashiach said that your Torah, your law, that's what it says. Your Torah is in my lab. It's written there. It's there. I know it was written there because Scripture cannot lie. Not Scripture. Man has tried to alter things. The best they have done in their own vernacular is tried to express it. They've done a poor job. They have not done the best thing. That is why HaMashiach said, now we know what has happened among the Yardims. They have been deceivers and liars. That's what they have been. The priests have corrupted the word. The scribes have used the pen to corrupt things, to put their little, to inundate it with their own schisms. He said, but it's one thing that Yahweh is going to do, because you believe that I'm the power of this Torah, that you see the visibility of it. You ask the Abba in my name, because I come in the strength and the assurance of his name. He said, he will send you another comforter, and he will comfort you in the strength of the Torah. You will not deny the Abba's name. You will not deny the Shabbat. How can one say they love Yahweh when they deny these things? He said, you will keep them, and they will stabilize you, and they will give you assurance. That's why we are very unstable people. It doesn't take much to destabilize you, does it? Your emotions destabilize you more than anything. The Torah of Yahweh is our stability. It stabilizes us. What? Well, if a brother do you wrong, or you perceive he's done you wrong, go to your brother. That is your stability. Your emotions cause you to become very unstable. You become wild and crazy, deranged, foolish, stupid. The Torah directs you. It shows you how to deal with your brother. The Torah teaches you how to love your sister. The Torah teaches you how to honor your daddy, your mama. The Torah teaches you how to honor elders and those that have rule and authority. That's what the Torah teaches us. It doesn't teach you to rebel and to walk contritely to what he commands you. The Torah teaches you those things. And if it's true in your heart, you will do them with a great delight. Because they are not in this generation, only a few. Now we do things with such murmuring and complaining. They have the Torah, but they still murmur and they complain. Can I ask you a question? Was HaMashiach's heart consumed with the Torah? Did he murmur? Did he complain? Did he have God in him? Did he speak against his Abba? He did not. It shows us what's in us. Oh, this preacher brings it right down to you. I'm going to bring it right down. No, this is no false message. I'm bringing it right down to you. No, I'm not talking about you thinking about what someone has done to you or your name. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you. You want to challenge me? Do just that. We're a generation just like Adam blamed the woman. And just like Egypt, I mean Israel, they're always blaming someone. That's our mentality. We're always blaming someone. No, the buck stops with you. Because if the Torah is in your heart, it's you. You have no excuse. That's why you are inexcusable. Thou art inexcusable, O man. You judge a brother and you say the Torah is in you. And you do the same thing that he does. You're inexcusable, O wretched, wicked man. You have no excuse. I judge my brother very severely. I'm doing the same thing he's doing. He says he has the Torah written in his heart. I say I have the Torah, and yet I judge him of a matter, and yet I do the same thing. Come on, something is wrong with you. The Torah brings us to the discipline of Yahweh. It teaches us. That is called the world religious force. It's against it. It brings the shalom. That's the only thing that's going to bring stability to the earth. Not the nuclear bombs. Mr. Bush is not bringing anything. They're corrupt men. They're vile, evil, sadistic men. They're children of hell. They're children of darkness. They're men that are ordained by the powers of hell. They're men full of delusions. They're dark men. And they're going to bring this whole house down to its grave. You watch. I don't believe it. I know you don't believe it. This generation doesn't believe Yahweh anyway. We don't believe in any truths or any absolutes. So that's no problem with me. I have no compunction with that at all. No whatsoever. When a man walks in that, when he delights in the Torah of Yahweh, when he keeps the profoundness of the Torah, even as David said, he said, Yahweh, your Torah, listen to this in Tehillim, Psalms 37 and verse 31. Anytime your feet slide because you are as corrupt as hell, and I said it that way, David declares here in Tehillim, Psalms 37:31, the Torah of Yahweh is in his lap, a righteous man, a wise man. And none of his steps shall what? When you are slipping and sliding because you got sin in you, you're transgressing the Torah. So you don't slide. When the Torah is written in your heart, you don't slide. Come on, man. You don't slide from your place as being the husband, the husbandman, the savior of the body. Do you not understand, wives, I speak to you all, that Yahweh has done something so profound with man that he has made him the savior of the body. And that's what he is, brothers and sisters. He said, this man, HaMashiach, and he made him to be the head of all men. That's what he did. And just like the woman did with Satan, she obeyed him instead of obeying the man. Now you wives, when you find yourself obeying your hellish and devilish flesh and doing something that is against the will of Yahweh, and you remove yourself from the truth, you're walking in the power of darkness. I don't care who you are. He gave the Torah to the man. And the man is the guard of the house. He watched the house. He protects the house. There was a sister wrote me from the Bronx. She said, Pastor Roberts, I came to this country. I was raised in Yahweh's truth. And I found myself in this congregation whereby the women ruled. She said, I tell you, it was such a chaotic mess. It was so hellish. It was so dysfunctional. She said, and I know that Yahweh led me to hear your messages. And I listened to them all day on the Shabbat. I listened to them beginning on the Shabbat Eve. And I have grown strong. Of course, I've left that place. And I sit and I listen to this truth because it has liberated me. Yahweh knows what he's doing. And if he explained it to you, you still wouldn't understand. We don't understand Torah. If he came down and explained it to you, you wouldn't understand. You would still ask him, well, why you do that? You would not understand. You would have no conception as to what he's trying to convey. You will not. And that's just the truth. When a man has the Torah in his heart, his feet will not slip and slide. Sliding into sin, rebelling against Torah. Everything is based upon Torah. Everything. Because the life of HaMashiach was based upon Torah. He came to please Yahweh in doing his will. And his Torah was written in his heart. The love kindness of the Torah of Yahweh shows us love kindness. It will continuously, it will keep us, it will keep our feet, it will keep our heart from walking in the power of sin and in the power of darkness. We must understand the will of Yahweh is to obey his Torah. As simple as that. You don't have to pray for some kind of epiphany or to get some different insight. It is the same. He has given us one instruction. And it's the same for every man, whether he's in Russia, China, whether he's in Nigeria or Kenya, whether he's in Albania or whether he's in Venezuela, it is the same. And you got this trash today in this Christian armor. The man in Albania is praying for something that's different than the man in the Philippines. What do I do? Do I go tell the whole world this? No, we shall let our light so shine. We shall let the power of the Torah, it is a shining light. His Torah is a light unto our feet. That's what it ought to be. His mitzvah, the truth of it, is a pathway. It's a light unto our pathway. He has given us the light to walk in the power of his Torah. And he means for us to walk in that. This is a rebellious generation. I'm talking about the people of Yahweh that declare his name. I'm not worried about the world because the world is doing what they should do. Yahweh sent his mitzvah to him unto his house. Judgment began first at the people that call themselves the people of Yahweh. And it began with you, my people. We are ignorant. We are sadish. And what do you think going to be the end of them that have totally rejected that? Reason we don't understand because we take no delight in understanding his will. And the only way you're going to understand that, you must go to the Torah. Instead of you steaming and seething in your anger and your hostility, you need to go to the book and see what the Torah says. Instead of you trying to battle a situation in your own strength, you should go to the Torah, do what the Torah says, and defend truth. Defend salvation. Defend love, kindness, what you ought to do. Defend the tender love, is love of Yahweh. You don't defend that. You defend your damnable wicked flesh. And there's such enmity in your flesh against the Torah of Yahweh, it's not subject to it. Your carnal mind is not subject. It's not willing to obey it. And indeed, it cannot be subject to it. It won't do it. It will not. To be carnally minded is death. To have the mind of the Ruah is life and shalom. The reason you have death in you is because you don't have the mind of the Ruah. The reason you murmur and complain is because you don't have the Ruah in you. The Torah causes a man to be thankful. The Torah teaches a man to bless Yahweh. The Torah teaches a man to bring offerings unto Yahweh of thanksgiving. The Torah teaches a man to continuously to keep himself purged and cleansed. The Torah teaches a man to govern his mind, his thoughts, his heart from being indicted or infiltrated with every kind of vile thing there is. The Torah teaches that. We're looking for some kind of epiphany that we think that we have in all ourselves. Everybody got the same thing if it's at the love, if it's there. If the Torah's, every man has it. I don't care if he's in Liberia or he's in South Africa. I don't care whether he's in Palestine or whether he's in Syria. I don't care if he's in Iraq or he's in India or Pakistan. He has this in his lev. And it's only given to the house of Israel. It's only given to his house. Period. He says it. It's either truth or a lie. He says it. And if you're not Israel, you don't even have it in you. That's why we have a rebellious generation. When I say that, I'm talking to us. Because the world is not going to listen to me. Do you understand that? The world is not going to listen to me. You cannot know the will of Yahweh without understanding the Torah, brothers and sisters. Without the Torah being written in your lev, you have no understanding of the will of Yahweh. Because His will is in His Torah. What is the will? What His purpose for you to do? What pleases Him? Can I ask you a question? Do offerings or any sacrifices of bullocks and all that, that doesn't please Yahweh. What pleases Him is obedience. You understand if they obeyed Him, they wouldn't have to do that. If they just did what the Torah did, they wouldn't have to do that. Every time they did that, they knew you're full of sin. Every time they did that, He knew they were wicked. And it would just grieve His heart. You say, why? I don't take no pleasure. That's why, because it shows you there's a sin there. There's a corruption there. Every time you got to repent, oh, I'm sorry, do the same thing tomorrow, come on. That is why when a man breaks the law, he goes to prison. And what prison tries to do is confine him that he breaks no other law. But yet he finds a way to break the law. Even in there, he does. And so what Yahweh does, He gives us a counsel that is so rich and so powerful to keep us from transgressing His Torah. And we still find ways to break it, don't we? We find ways to disobey Him, to do the things that He commands us not to do. I want to read this in, I want you to hear this in the book of Maccabees, 2 Maccabees. It's in the Apocrypha. But I want to read this. I find it to be very profound. So I want to read it. It says in Maccabees, he says, Yahweh, the prophet said, Yahweh be kind to you. And remember His covenant that He made with Abraham. He's talking to Israel now, the prophecy. So Yahweh has been kind to us. And He remembered His covenant, His relationship He had with Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, Israel. His faithful servants they were. And this is what He says. Listen to this. And give you all a lev to serve Him and to do His will. With good courage and of a willing mind. And open your lev to His Torah and Mitzvot. And send you shalom. Now that's what Yahweh does. He opens our heart to His Torah. And Shaitan has a law, and so does Yahweh. He has a Torah. And Shaitan's law says, you defy Yahweh. You reject Him. His law is the opposite of Yahweh. The opposite. Yahweh says to love your brothers and sisters. And Shaitan says, you denigrate them and defile them and speak evil against them. Do you understand? And so which law are you walking in? The law of Yahweh, the Torah of Yahweh brings about reciprocity. It brings about prosperity. And it's not you driving a Cadillac. It's you being full of great thankfulness and great strength and the health and the wealth of Yahweh. That is not constituted by a house or a car or a pair of shoes for the $10 or $100. That doesn't constitute the wealth of Yahweh. Not one bit at all. Do you understand? He said that Yahweh will open our levim to his Torah and his mitzvot and send you shalom. And hear your prayer and be as one with you and never forsake you in time of trouble. Now that's profound. Well, that's in the Apocrypha, but it's truth. What is more profound? That is profound. The Yahweh will open your levim to his Torah. He will open your mind to his mitzvot. Now, if that is a false statement, then it will not bear witness in Scripture. And I will show you that this bears witness in Scripture. There's a witness to this profound truth. You think that everything of Hamashiach is written in the volume that you have? No, it isn't. What we have of the Torah is enough to keep us baffled all our days. Why? Because there's no faithfulness and obedience unto it. And the reason there isn't, because we don't have the Ruach of Yahweh. The Ruach of Yahweh will never lead us astray from the Torah. I don't care if you're a UPC or Baptist or Methodist. If you say you have the Ruach of Yahweh, it will never lead you away from the Torah. It will lead you to the Torah. And all these spirits today leads people away from the Torah. That's all these spirits do. They lead the people away from the Torah. So it's not the Ruach of Yahweh. It leads us to the Torah. Was Hamashiach led by the Ruach when he was tried on Shatan? Did he rely upon the Torah? That was the only thing that he could rely upon. He could not defend Shatan with verbiage. He relied upon Torah. You should have no gods before Yahweh. Now say to these ignorant people out there that say, those are pagan words and you should not use them. I wonder how that Yahweh say that when he said you should have no God before me. Did he say you should have no, you understand, before me? He said it like that. There's a corruption of man that have defiled the words today. It's the emphasis they have placed upon them. What they have used them for. And that's the truth. You sure don't even correspond to me with that. Just an ignorant generation what we are. So if a man, if Yahweh opens a man's heart up to his Torah and his mitzvot, so when he opens your heart up to that, he sends you shalom. He sends you great strength and great peace. In the midst of great affliction, you have great peace. This is a generation that is full of death, no expression of the joy of Yahweh, of the love of Yahweh. Why? Because there's nothing in you. There's nothing written there but trash. Trash. Memory of yesterday and day before yesterday. You take more delight in that than what the will of Yahweh is. Hamashiach David declared, I delight to do his will. I delight to understand Yahweh's purpose for me. And the only way I'm going to find it is what's written in my heart. What is written in your heart? The Torah. When it's truly written there, you will have no need for no man to teach you that. You will know what the Torah says. You don't even know how to love each other. You have to be taught to love each other. This one we call the called elect of Yahweh. They don't know how to love each other. You don't know how to correspond with each other. You've got to be taught that. You have smudged that what was in your heart. You have caused it to become a steward. Because of your sin, your heart has become hard. You've caused a thick film to go over it. If you don't wash your windows every now and then, they get dirty, don't they? You that drive cars, you got to wash them windows every now and then now. You get all kind of dung there, bug, splashing on it. It's filthy. You got to wash them. I don't care how many you use those wipers. No, you got to get out there and wash them things. Every now and then you got to wash them because it obscures your vision. And that's what is obscured the law, the Torah from our heart. Because we let every kind of spot of filth. Why do you think Hamashiach commands us? Shaul says, cleanse yourself from all the filthiness of your flesh and your ruach. Why do you think he tells you that? And perfect this what? The righteousness of the Torah and your set apartness. Set yourself apart, your mind apart to understand what the Torah says. You understand that? That's what you need to do. That should be our great delight today. And we will not fall into the same snares and the nets we fall into all the time.
Reason we fall there, because we don't set our affection on the things that are above. The Torah of Yahweh, the government of Yahweh is a government that is above. It's not one that is sensual. We see the governments of the world today. They're wicked. They're corrupt. I don't care what government it is. The government of America, it is one of the most vilest, insidious, corrupt government upon the face of the earth. The men that are in charge, they're wicked, they're vile, they're sadistic, they're corrupt, they spew sedition and vileness and corruption. They're vile men. I was talking to Brother Della that we were talking about the atom bomb and the nuclear bomb. And the devastation that those bombs... Let me tell you something. When they dropped that bomb on Nagasaki, 2 days, they dropped it in 1945. What day was it? I think it was the 9th day of that month. But 2 days later, they surrendered. Do you understand what it does? What kind of mind, should I say, the brother there, what kind of mind can even conjure, go beyond the natural laws of Yahweh to find something of that dimension? When they dropped that bomb, 60, 70, 100,000 people died instantly. Bam! Now that's just an atomic bomb. It only had about 5 pounds of the gases or the fuel of the uranium. Now that's just an atomic. An atom bomb would do 1,000 times that much. They dropped one. I said, brother, they drop it on Charlotte. And they kill everything from Charlotte to Florida. I will read you something on that on next week, all right, on Wednesday. I'll read it for your learnings. You all like things that are foolish. I want to understand things. No, it doesn't make me smart, but I'm a very inquisitive man, and I want to know. I don't want to know about your damnable trash, your lies, and your conversation. You spend more time on trash like that. That's why the law, the Torah of Yahweh is never perfected. And what he said, you got to perfect the Torah in you. You perfect lying. You have perfected gossiping. You have perfected busybodiness. You have perfected your murdering your brothers and your sisters. But when you come perfecting that law of the righteous Torah of Yahweh, you have not come to do that. You have not been inspired to do that. And so I'm inspired. My heart is inspired. If I doubt it, my heart is inspired to understand the fullness. And I know I'm not going to get it in trivia thing. It's not going to come in trivia pursuits. It's not going to come in my hostility, my anger against one another. It's not going to come in that my rejection of my brothers. It's not going to come that way. It's going to impede me. And that's why you impede. That's why you're sickly. You look sickly. Let me go on here. That's this. I'm talking to the people of Yahweh. The world is deranged and sick. But the people of Yahweh are sickly, weakly things. You are either one of them, or you're just worldly and wicked as hell. You understand? I want to read this. Scripture says in Yochanan. Hallelujah. John 7, verse 17. It says this. If any man desire his will. Do you desire the will of Yahweh? Do you desire to know his will? Now it tells us right here. If any man desire the will of Yahweh, Yochanan 7:17, if any man desire his will, he shall know of the doctrine, he shall know the teaching, the disciplines of Yahweh, he shall know the Torah. Whether it be of Yahweh or whether I speak of my own thought. Now look at what Hamashiach says. He says, if any man desire to know the will of Yahweh, how do they know the will of Yahweh? He was talking to the Pharisaic and these Yodams. How do they know that unless they had a knowledge of the Torah? A man without the knowledge of the Torah did not understand the will of Yahweh. And so that's why we think we can sin and do things that are grossly unjust and rogue against Yahweh and think we're right. It is not right.